The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Alumni Ventures. Invest with confidence. Discover the power of venture investing with Alumni Ventures, America's largest venture firm for individual investors. Learn more at av.vc.
Hi, before we get started, I just wanted to let you know about a live event we're hosting next Monday, April 22nd in New York City. It's a conversation with the one and only Scott Galloway, NYU business professor, irreverent podcast host, and author of the new book, The Algebra of Wealth, A Simple Formula for Financial Security. If you'd like to join us at BetaWorks in the Meatpacking District to have a cocktail, get a signed book, and hear Scott's intel on how you can boost your bank account, go to nextbigideaclub.com/events and use the code podcast to get a 50% discount. Now on with the show.
LinkedIn presents.
Fad diets are rarely about food. They are about health, identity, class, social performance, and transformation. Diets signal politics and class status and contain and express psychological longings and anxieties. Diets provide an identity because what we eat serves as a symbol to others about who we are and who we wish to be.
Hi, I'm Michael Kovnat. This is the Next Big Idea Daily, and it's Tuesday. What'd you have for breakfast this morning? Or did you skip it? Maybe you're intermittent fasting? Have you gone keto? Are you into raw foods? Millions of us have signed on to various eating regimens, which can help us lose weight and feel better until they don't. While few, if any, of the popular diets have really shown good long-term results, they remain incredibly appealing to a public hungry for a new approach to food. Maybe that's because these diets fill an important psychological and social need, according to the new book, Anxious Eaters, Why We Fall for Fad Diets, by Janet Charzen and Kimma Cargill. Janet teaches nutritional anthropology at the University of Pennsylvania, and Kimma teaches psychology at the University of Washington, Tacoma. Together, they dig deep into why we eat and don't eat what we do. Here's Janet to share some big ideas from the book.
Fad diets make cultural and psychological sense, if not nutritional sense. That's why people adopt them. They almost always utilize background cultural narratives to justify or rationalize their assertions. So they're dependent upon established ideas for their reasoning and their appeal. For instance, food addiction theories adopt ideas from Alcoholics Anonymous, assuming that certain foods are addictive and must be avoided for sobriety. Paleo diets articulate a belief in a golden past, one that's fictional, of course, but imagined as conducive to ideal bodies and perfect health. Clean eating relies on the cultural meanings of the word clean, which is considered ideal and close to godliness. Cultural dichotomies and all-or-nothing thinking allow for the construction of a rigidly bifurcated world and diet, with all good things adhering to related linguistic categories such as clean, moral, good, and beneficial, and standing in opposition to the closely related bad things or concepts such as dirty, immoral, unhealthy, or bad. Because they rely on cultural belief systems, they can weaponize pseudoscientific explanations and create fantastical solutions that are more appealing than the truth. We see this in advertisements for the supplements, food substitutions, and one food you must avoid, clickbait, that promise to create perfect health, fight aging, and transform the self. Desire to practice these diets is transmitted socially via cultural influences, like fashion fads. Fad diets are a form of collective behavior that develop within a culture, a generation, or social group, which people follow enthusiastically for a somewhat short period. These diets have sizable online communities and cultures, which allow for the viral spread of trendy behaviors and practices. The community of adherents further legitimizes the diet within the cultural milieu. Fad diets are a social phenomenon. Fad diets also fail because of established food habits encoded in those same cultural systems. What we eat is conditioned by our social and economic worlds, and it's hard to go against that programming. While it's easy to think through food type avoidance, such as giving up all carbohydrates or sugar or living a strict keto paleo regimen, once we need to eat a meal, adherence can be very difficult because we do tend to eat socially. First, the idea of what a meal looks like, what's a balanced meal, and what it should contain are deeply embedded in sociocultural norms, and it's very hard to disrupt those mental models for more than a meal or two. Try having a pasta meal without the pasta. Zucchini spirals can only take you so far. Your idea of a balanced meal is deeply culturally determined. Second, numerous examples in the book demonstrate how hard it is to be social when we're following a fad diet, and how frequently people cycle off them because they value eating with friends and family. Think about how hard it would be to be a clean eater when attending a beloved family member's wedding or a holiday meal. Are you going to avoid grandma's pumpkin pie in front of her just because you aren't sure if the pumpkins she used are heirloom and organic? So fad diets might be good to think with, but they often go against established behavior patterns, what we do with our food. Fad diets are rarely about food. They are about health, identity, class, social performance, and transformation. Diets signal politics and class status and contain and express psychological longings and anxieties. Diets provide an identity because what we eat serves as a symbol to others about who we are and who we wish to be. Fad diets provide status because they rely on performance of a perfected self and often require expensive ingredients that signify wealth. Adopting these diets provides a sense of bodily purity by consuming supposedly healthy foods and avoiding those considered to be bad. And they demonstrate a capacity for self-control, a value much esteemed in American culture. Because of control, fad diets promise transformation into the identity one desires, the body one values, and an aspirational lifestyle. Fad diets appeal to specific groups of people because they allow a performance of self, such as paleo and male fitness, clean and performance of good motherhood or the well self. These groups then form a community of practice that further legitimates the diet and the cultural beliefs that support it and create a sense of personal identity in the process. People state that they are a clean eater or addicted to food or are going paleo. These are powerful descriptions of the self, not of the diet. They are about being, not just doing. Most bad diets really aren't about the food, but instead signal group belonging and self-identity, two qualities central to the psychological health of most humans. We think Americans are uniquely and intensely interested in fad diets. One reason is the cultural history of self-transformation in this country, where we see rags-to-riches narratives, reality shows, and compelling narratives of the self-made man. Americans are highly individualized, and the self is viewed as a lifelong project of improvement and perfection. We can see evidence for Americans' prioritization of personal growth and self-transformation in the popularity of self-help books, therapy, and makeover shows. There's a strong connection between the paleo diet and the desire for longevity, optimal health, and the creation of a masculine physique, for instance. If you're familiar with some of the most popular paleo influencers, you'll note that they often are younger men who have transformed their bodies from flabby to muscular, or older men who've ostensibly staved off aging through their adoption of paleo. The practice of self-transformation is also connected to a belief that consumerism and spending money solves problems. We see this clearly in food removal diets. These sharply limit certain foods to avoid illness, reset the body, eat a biologically ideal diet for our species, or live your best life. These diets are branded and involve spending money on special foods, membership in an organization, or the services of a professional nutritionist, personal trainer, or coach. Accordingly, most of these diets require a substitution of an expensive food for a cheaper food, such as grass-fed organic meat instead of grains for paleo, or specialized high-end products for similar but cheap products, such as almond flour for wheat flour or date sugars in place of regular white sugar. Consumption often serves to define the self to others. What you wear, what you eat, what kind of car you drive, all say something about who you are, and even more importantly, how successful you are. Eating this way signals success, wealth, and health, but such behavior and these diets are usually only obtainable by the privileged. Finally, most of these diets retain legitimacy by convergence. The precepts are similar, so once you've tried one, you're primed for the next. Paleo encourages belief in keto, gluten-free, and clean. The earliest fad diet to reach celebrity status was the Banting diet of the Victorian period. It was a carbohydrate-reduced diet touted by William Banting, a retired undertaker. He ate 4 meat and veg meals a day with charred bread and port. He self-published a testimonial field book, and Banting became the first smash fad diet. Doing Banting was a way of telling people that you were reducing. It's been recycled endlessly. Atkins, paleo, and keto all pay direct homage to his original concept. Similarly, more recent phenomena such as the Whole 30 mash together food addiction concepts, low-carb dreams, clean eating fantasies, and more specific prescriptions from Gundry, Walls, and Younger to create a sharply reduced food list for a promised body transformation. These same foods are listed as forbidden by Gwyneth Paltrow in her many Goop publications, and the cycle continues. Once you accept the premise of the first diet, you're primed to accept the next. And that's why they piggyback their recommendations to create legitimacy and urgency. The next fad diet's almost always a reworking of the last fad diet. And that's why we believe in them. Most of us wind up consuming diets as a good or service because they make cultural sense, even if they don't always create the hoped for outcomes. In the end, they aren't really about the food. They are about transformation into an idealized self.
Thank you, Janet. All right, that does it for today's show. Remember, if you want access to thousands of big ideas from hundreds of amazing nonfiction authors, download the Next Big Idea app from your app store. And if you'd like to get the best of these books sent right to your home, check out our box subscription plan. You can find out about that at nextbigideaclub.com. And use the code DAILY for a nice discount. I'm Michael Kavnat. See you tomorrow.